This is Dave Glowatz. Welcome to another in a series of my interviews with Ben Jarofsky, who writes on Chicago politics and government for the Chicago Reader, and who's on the phone with me. What up, Brother Ben?
Greetings, David.
Today we're talking about your article that appeared in the Reader on August 4th, 2011, and it's titled, Mayor Emanuel Does the TIF Reform Dance. This article talks about how, despite having pledged reform to the tax increment financing program in Chicago, Mayor Emanuel's administration still seems to be sending TIF money to companies in areas that don't need it. And I noticed that your explanation of tax increment financing seems to get more succinct every time you write it. In fact, I really like this one. Could you read that paragraph where you describe it?
So I will read to you. Here we go. TIFs work like this. After aldermen, at the mayor's behest, create a TIF district, and they've created more than 160 over the years, it siphons off property tax dollars that would otherwise go to the schools, parks, county, and other taxing bodies. The money is collected in slush funds controlled by the mayor. The funds are supposed to be used to eradicate blight in the poorest communities, places where there would be no development but for the TIF. But because of loopholes in the state law, the mayor is pretty much free to spend the money on anything he wants, such as subsidies to corporations in return for unenforced agreements to keep jobs in Chicago. That's how TIF money ended up subsidizing wealthy corporations setting up shop in the blighted communities, and blighted is in quotes, in and around the loop.
And speaking of wealthy corporations, one of the first things you talk about in your article is something called World Business Chicago, which is an organization which aims to bring businesses and jobs to Chicago. And you talk about it's a private entity that gets funding from the city to do essentially marketing of the city to businesses.
Its members are appointed by the mayor as well.
And the mayor chairs it, its board of directors.
All true.
You wrote about a report by the Inspector General's office, which describes the fact that the, we'll call it the WBC, World Business Chicago, advocated for TIF subsidies for corporations of which WBC board members were officers or directors. And the IGO's report, issued on July 21st, calls this a pretty clear conflict of interest, especially considering that WBC got a little under $10 million in grants from the city in the last 2 years. And I'm wondering, did you ask anyone at WBC why they didn't see these actions as a conflict of interest?
No. First of all, it's an old regime. For the purpose of what I was doing in this article, I actually didn't really care what the response would be. And I've actually, Dave, come not to expect anything resembling an honest exchange with people when it comes to TIF. So I did not reach out to them. I reached out to the city, and I actually reached out to the Merck. I wanted to talk to them about, they did not get back to me, the CME group, which is one of the groups cited in the report. I wanted to know about the ongoing TIF subsidy that they got, and they did not respond to me.
You write also about the $7 million that the city is giving to developers for an upscale grocery store at Monroe and Halsted in what the city calls the Near West Tax Increment Financing District, which I have a map of right here.
Which all our listeners are seeing right now.
And I'll describe it for our listeners. It's roughly shaped like the number 4 with the east side of it along the Dan Ryan Expressway or the Kennedy Expressway going north-south and stretching up to Lake Street on the north and around Van Buren on the south. And if our listeners want to see a picture of that map, they can go to the description for this particular broadcast at MrRadio.org. Anyway, the description on the city's website about this district says that the district will help, quote, provide goods and services to near west side workers and residents and housing developments that accommodate a wide range of incomes, end quote. This may seem like a softball question, Ben, but have you seen any evidence that development in this district addresses a wide range of incomes?
A wide range of incomes, the word is?
That's what they said, yeah.
Absolutely not. If anything, it's an agent for the removal of the low income. Oh, gosh, you know, all the many different contradictions in the TIF story, there's just so many different chapters. But one of them is this irony, of course, is that the fund is supposed to be used to benefit low-income communities. And largely, it's been, when it comes to low-income people, it's by and large been sort of an agent to remove them from communities. In the particular case of this TIF district, they use TIF dollars to literally move I forget the name of it, Dave. I think it was the Christian Industrial Council. Don't quote me on that. But they had a shelter which was moved to the west side, further west. And in the place where it was, there's an upscale development. I've written this many times, and I've probably talked about this with you many times. When you move poor people or institutions that service the poor from neighborhoods, well, from any neighborhood, but significantly a neighborhood that's on the edge of a well-to-do area, like the Loop, like this area is close to the Loop, then you have the immediate impact of causing a spiking the property in the area.
Spiking the value of the property.
Spiking the value of the property. So I could argue that by removing the halfway house or the shelter or whatever it was from this area, it had the benefit of gentrifying the area. So you could argue, well, that's great for the overall tax dollar, the amount of money that flows into the city. I suppose you could make that argument. How it benefits the low-income poor people, I don't see at all. Okay, so it's really a program that doesn't benefit poor people, even though it's designed to do so.
I'm just looking at this Near West TIF. It's got a big hole in the middle. Not a big, it's got a square block. I've never seen this before. It's a cutout. It's between Washington and Madison and between Green Street and Peoria Street. Any idea what that's about?
First of all TIF districts are gerrymandered.
Well, yeah, I mean, they always have irregular borders, but this one's got a hole in the middle.
Generally, what they do is to make it qualify, it's a part of the joke, they exclude newly created buildings, and that serves two purposes. One, it enables them to qualify under the loophole, the fill law of what's eligible for TIF. And two, and this is a little more complicated, but it's a huge part of it, it increases the amount of money that will eventually flow into the TIF. If you go into a well-to-do area and you gerrymander an area that's about to regentrify, and you create a TIF district within a gentrifying area that excludes as much of the gentrification as you can and just includes the pockets of that area that have not been developed yet, then you're going to have a lot of money flowing in because the area would have developed anyway. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like what they did in your neck of the woods, Milwaukee. Oh, what a scam that is. The Milwaukee-Fullerton TIF district.
Uh-huh.
And they just took that stretch of Milwaukee. There were plots of land that were already going to be developed. It was vacant land, but there was already townhouse deals that were coming there.
Right.
When the TIF was created, the land was only worth $10. You put the townhouses in, I'm making this up, it's $100. That means there's 10 times as much property taxes will flow in to the TIF, so it'll create more money. It will have absolutely no impact on increasing the value of land because the land was already going up, but it'll get all the benefits.
Yeah.
It's genius, you know? So that's what happened in the Near West Side. They created a TIF district on the land just before it took off, and it became hugely wealthy. They used it largely for stupid reasons. They did some streetscaping and what have you, and, you know, like, I guess you could justify that, but I think it's unfair if you just limit streetscaping to areas where there's a bountiful TIF. And I'm sad to say that Mayor Emanuel is continuing this legacy at his hearing of the TIF group, the TIF, what's it, it's his task force on TIF reform. They had a hearing last week in Bronzeville, and they solicited ideas from the public, so they passed out an overview of the current TIF program. They had one doozy in there. TIF collections do not come at the expense of other taxing bodies, e.g. Chicago Public Schools, Chicago Park District, Cook County. Those bodies collect the same amount and have benefited from additional TIF funds. That is just such a...
It's a very liberal interpretation, to say the least.
Well, it's just such a blatant distortion of the truth, cleverly crafted to confuse people at the same time, make it clear that they have no intention whatsoever of significantly reforming this program.
The city is saying that TIF districts don't come at the expense of other taxing bodies. What's the rationale for that?
I have no idea. Once again, you, like many editors in the past, put me in the position where you're asking me to explain why, what the city is up to with what it does. The obvious point is that, of course, this money is a diversion from all these taxing bodies. That's the whole program. That's how it works. If you didn't divert the money from them in the first place, there would be no money or there'd be very little money in the pot. And there are moves which have so far been stifled by the suburban school district and the Chicago Teachers Union to pull the Board of Education out of the TIF. So if you were to do that, if by some miracle that were to succeed, there would be about half of the money would be going into the TIF funds because the Board of Ed provides about 50% of this diversion. So of course it's a diversion. You asked me about the city and its creative writing when it comes to TIF, and it seems like the story goes on.
Well, if you ever decide you want to go into fiction, there might be a career path for you.
I think I'll avoid that career path, Dave. But thanks for the advice.
Certainly. Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader, thank you for joining me today.
Take care, Dave.
This is Dave Gloetz. You've been listening to my interview with Ben Jurofsky. When you get a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for other interviews or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.